continuing our study in doctrine this morning. Angelology today. When I put this all together close to a year ago, started thinking through, angelology. Isn't that a good one? The ology of angels. Words about angels. I stuck to what I would call sort of the traditional doctrinal issues that gets discussed generally on church doctrinal statements and in ordinations. So what I stuck to. But really, I've been giving it a lot more thought and wondering if there are some issues and areas of theology that could be added to that for our context. And we may. We'll see how the Lord leads there. But angels, things about angels. Again, survey this week on angels, but you remember we've looked at theology proper, Christology, pneumatology, bibliology, anthropology last week, and now angel words. What are angels? What are they? How about maybe even more importantly, what aren't they? What aren't they? We'll look at that and think about that a little. Again, in survey form, what do they do? What purpose do they serve? And really just trying to, in a sense, give us some security on what the Bible says, because there's a lot of, quite honestly, a lot of crazy ideas about angels, spirits, and things. And even today, this morning, just we were talking about demons, angels, and different their influence and things like that. So just very very helpful for us as we dig into this, as I believe all of these doctrinal studies have been, and looking forward to it. There's a lot of scripture again today to cover in a short amount of time, so I'm going to go pretty quickly. I'm going to try to not preach about 400 different verses here, but we're going to survey this, and hopefully it'll help. It'll be helpful. Let's pray, and we'll dig into God's word. Thank you, Lord, so much for your grace to give us this another day, just another 24-hour period, to live here, to breathe, to have work to do, to have fellowship, and to hear from your word, be able to worship you corporately in our song and with our attentiveness to your word. And I just pray you'd lead and guide us. Just help us. Help us to know you more. Help us to understand our world more. Help us to understand what you've communicated to us in your word, first of all, and to put our hope and trust in what you've told us, and not to be led astray by crazy ideas that are in the world and confusing to us and to others, and very confusing messages out there, and to be knowledgeable about the spiritual and the spiritual realm and spiritual beings, and so that we're not flippantly living and we're also not too overly concerned that it's all we think about. Just pray that way today. Help us understand your word well. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, angels, what are we talking about? We're going to survey, like I said, and hopefully understand angels a little better by the end of the day and kind of give a big view, overview of what the scriptures teach on them. First of all, they're real. As Christians, we would affirm that it's not a story. They're not, you know, people treat them like that, or to talk to them as if they're mythological, but they're not. The Sadducees say there is no resurrection, nor angel, nor spirit. The Pharisees acknowledge them both. Some people say that there aren't any angels. They're not real. But scriptures teach us that they are definitely a reality. They're also persons. They're not just forces or things, but they have personhood, they have personality. This one just tells us, I tell you what's described in the book, the truth. There's none who contends against these except Michael, your prince. Michael, he has personality, and he was contending for the truth there to help Gabriel in that case right there. They have personality, they have intellect. It was revealed to them that they are serving not themselves, but you and the things that they have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Notice this, though, things that angels long to look into. They have intellect. They want to know. They're learning. They want to understand things. And they don't know everything either, by the way, right? That's the distinction between them and the Lord. They're not, they don't have full intelligence or full knowledge of all things. Only God does. But they do have intellect. They have emotion. There was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God. They praise. They have emotion. They have emotions similar to what humans do. Or many, they share many emotions with us. Wisdom. My Lord has wisdom like the wisdom of the angel of God. They're around the good angels. We'll draw a distinction later, but they're around the throne of God. They're participants of His wisdom. And a lot of we're going to see in Hebrews, a lot of what we have in the Scriptures have been transferred to us via angels. Very, very interesting. But they have wisdom, a will. They have a will, much like humans have a will. A little different, but much like that. Angels who did not stay within their own position of authority. So what's that tell you? There was a rule placed over them, right? Stay here. But they did not. They left their proper dwelling. He has kept them in eternal chains under gloomy darkness. They made a choice. They made a choice to disregard God's will for them. So that means that God gave them a will to exercise for good or for bad. So they, similar to us in that as well, moral judgment. They can make moral judgment. They know good from bad. Some of them then fell. They have a will. They have moral. They can make a moral judgment. Some of them made a bad choice and fell. God did not spare angels when they sinned. You see, they can make moral choices, but cast them into hell and committed them to chains of gloomy darkness to be kept until judgment. And fell. That's called the fall. They made one. They made their choice. Choose God. Don't choose God. Some of them fell. Revelation 12:4, his tail swept down and a third of the stars of heaven cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman. That's telling us that a third of the angels actually fell in sin and followed Satan in his rebellion. That's good news in that there are two-thirds of the good angels left. Praise the Lord for that. We don't really need any angels though, right? God is a sovereign God. It doesn't matter if there's a trillion angels or 100 trillion angels. God is still God, right? But it's good news that a third of them fell. It's a little frightening. There, a third of the angels fell. We have some real enemies in this world, don't we? And that's why we need the Lord. That's why we need to draw near to the Lord and avail ourselves of His work in our life and of His Spirit. But angels have personality. Intellect, emotion, wisdom, will, moral judgment, but some of them are fallen. We'll come back to that. And angels are created beings. They're not like God in that they're from everlasting to everlasting. They are created. They have a point where they came into existence. You are the Lord, you alone. You have made heaven and the heaven of heavens with all their host, the earth and all that is in it, the seas and all that is in them. You preserve all of them and the host of heaven worships you. You won't see this as an overt challenge to the gospel as often, but there is certainly a passive idea that, well, the angels have always been around, and maybe God didn't create them, or, you know, there's just craziness. Angels are created. God created them. He created everything, including the spiritual beings. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Let them praise the name of the Lord. He commanded, they were created. So let them praise the Lord. Who? The angels from 184:48:2. He created the angels. For by Him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through Him and for Him. That's another good point of what the angels are for, and we'll come back to that later. But they're created beings. They are not in any way equal to God. They're not to be compared to God. They are not gods, although that's what basically we call them in this world. Small g, right? Fallen angels. Oh, that's the gods of the Greeks. That's the gods of the Egyptians. They're fallen angels. It's improper to call them that because they're not. They're just spirit beings. They're just created beings. Who alone, God alone, has immortality, who dwells in inapproachable light, whom no one has seen or ever seen can see. To Him be honor and eternal dominion. The angels are not God. They're not gods. They are then not to be worshipped. Angels are not to be worshipped. I haven't seen it as much, maybe because I'm a little more cloistered than I used to be, but I have seen countless things where angel worship is at least borderline in our culture, at least. And sometimes I talk to people, and I know someone right now that I've been talking to who hears visions and has visions and hears words and things like that. It borders on worship at times. You have to be very careful of how you think of angels. No, I imply that what pagans sacrifice to, what pagans sacrifice they offer to demons and not to God. I do not want you to be participants with demons. Angels are not to be worshipped. Good angels or bad angels. All of the idolatry in our world today, the pagan type idolatry, is angel worship. It's pagan gods. They're just worshiping fallen angels. This is a good angel here, a servant of the Lord that is talking to John, showing him a vision. And John, of all people, tried to worship the angel. He's overwhelmed, right? He was overwhelmed. Notice what the angel says. You must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. Now, this is a good reminder for us today of who Jesus is, right? So remember, we looked at the Christology. Some people thought, well, Jesus is a created being, or he's angel, or he's, right, or he became, you know, there's all those crazy things. What did Jesus do? Not this, right? When he was worshipped, he accepted worship. Oh, Jesus never claimed to be God. Really? You're not very thoughtful, or you're lying. He, of course, said he was God. And he accepted worship. The angels are not to be worshipped. They do not accept worship. It was horrifying to this angel. You must not do that. Stop right now, right? This is the worst. You know, imagine the angel was going through the angel's mind. You're in heaven. You're seeing visions. And then you worship me. No, right? No, don't do that. They must not be worshipped. Angels were created before the seventh day. The heavens and the earth were finished, all the host of them. In 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth and sea. So sometime before the seventh day, they were made, and sometime before the creation of the earth. On what were its bases sunk? Who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. There is some disagreement on this, okay? And some people would say that angels were distinct from the current creation created in eternity past. I disagree. Everything God created is created in 6 days. On 6 days, he created all things, including the host of them, right? I believe personally, that's not terribly clear, but angels were created right in the beginning when the host of heaven was created, right in the very beginning. And at least we know for sure sometime before the creation of the earth, okay? But it doesn't necessarily particularly matter. I can't prove that. It doesn't say, thus saith the Lord, here's when he created the angels. But we know that they were created sometimes before the seventh day. They were created holy. God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day. So angels were created perfect. They were created holy. So they had a fall just like humans did. Angels are powerful beings, and I'm going to apologize for... Oh, in some way they're greater than man, for going a little quicker even than I'm already going. I'm probably going to have to get you home before your pot roast burns. You made him a little lower than the angels, talking of Jesus. So mankind, we are already a little lower than the angels. So they're in some way greater than us, and probably in many ways they're powerful and things like that. There are a great number of angels. You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to an innumerable angels in feastial gathering. Great party of angels accepting the believers. That's an awesome passage, by the way. But there are many, and that's the point. There are very many angels in an innumerable amount. Angels are powerful. Notice this here. You know, you think through how do we deal with angels, right? What should our response be to them? And in one way, you can say, well, you know what? Christ never died for angels. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? He died for the seed of Adam. He became a man. He didn't become an angel to die in their place. He became a man to represent us. So it makes us think, wow, that's amazing. But then we read that man is a little lower than the angels. That's interesting. So how do we think about them? Are they powerful then? Well, we have redemption. They don't. Notice what one angel did, what God had one angel do. The angel of the Lord went out and struck down 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. That's possible if that's pre-incarnate appearance of Christ, but it's also possible it's just an angel, an angel of the Lord. That's what the sense I get from that passage. 185,000 in one night, bam. That's pretty powerful, all right? So they're very powerful beings. They're nothing to trifle with. One of the things that we'll look at, but it's one of the things I think our world is so very foolish on. And we trifle with psychedelic drugs. We trifle with occult practices. We trifle with Eastern religions and meditation. And hear this, you just got to hear it. Yoga, what's the purpose? You trifling with that stuff? Spiritual beings are nothing to trifle with. Serious business, okay? These are powerful forces that you need the Lord. You need the word of the Lord and Him alone, okay? Be careful of those Eastern spiritual influences, those evil spiritual influences. They're spiritual beings, of course. The Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in his way and drawing a sword in his hand. Elijah prayed, "O Lord, open the eyes that he may see." So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. He saw, behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around. The army of the Lord. Horses of fire, chariots of fire. Spiritual beings, not normally seen by human eyes. Angels do not marry or reproduce. In the resurrection, they may neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels. So they don't. They were made that way. And just to close that part of angels and that what they are, people do not become angels. There's no evidence in the scriptures that human beings become angels. Like I said, I do a lot of funerals. I can't number the amount of times I've heard that. Well, now we have a new angel. It's not true. We don't have a new angel. Angels are what? Created beings. Angels don't reproduce. Angels are created when? Before the seventh day. Okay? Someone tell me doctrine is important. Right? You see? You see, people don't become angels. People are people. We're still people. We're still people in heaven, right? What's wrong with that, by the way, right? Why do we need to become angels? Who made that up? That's crazy, right? You can be an angelos if you want to. You can be a messenger, but you can't be an angel, all right? Okay, that was unnecessary, but angels were created to serve. Angels were created to serve. He dreamed, behold, there was a ladder set up on earth on top of a reach to heaven. Behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. They're doing God's work. God's sending them out, and they're ascending and descending, doing God's work. And there's a distinction made between God's realm and the earth in that one. As I just alluded to, the word angel literally means messenger. Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who inherit salvation. Ministering servants, messenger. A messenger of God is who they are. They bring God's message. Angels were created to worship God. We see this in Isaiah 6, where the living creatures constantly praise God and give praise to God. That's their job. They were made to protect. I love some of these, by the way. Let's read all of these. They struck with blindness the men who were at the entrance of the house, both small and great, and they were themselves groping for the door. People were trying to hurt Lot, trying to hurt God's messengers. What did they do? They protected the family. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him." Now, many people believe that was a pre-incarnate Christ. We're not certain. But in this sense, this angel was sent to protect. "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." That's a warning, all right? don't do anything to harm one of these little ones because they have someone watching over them who reports to the Father. The angels are there to protect. I wonder if we're going to get a reel of our life when we get to heaven and we're going to see the literally billions of times that God protected us. That he changed something just a little. That he provided for us when we had no idea what he was doing. Angels are involved in that. They're God's servants to protect. Some people hate the idea of a guardian angel. I don't think you can completely prove that. But that angels are guarding, yes. Okay? Maybe you don't have a specific one, maybe you do. But you do have angels watching over you, okay? That's all that really matters to understand. During the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out. They're there to protect, to watch over, to have help God's plan go forward or to work God's plan. They watch over the nations. Isn't this interesting? The sentence is by the decree of the watchers, the decision by the word of the holy ones, to the end that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of man and gives it to whom he will and sets over it the lowliest of men. Who are they? The watchers. They're keeping watch over the kingdoms of the earth. For thousands of years, I can't imagine what they think of us. They have to be dumbfounded. We're such fools. They were created to execute God's judgment. I'm going to go through these a little quicker. This is Sodom and Gomorrah, where the angels destroyed it, fire and brimstone. So think about that. They're, again, very powerful. The Son of Man will send his angels and gather out of the kingdom all that causes sin and all lawbreakers and throw them into the fiery furnace. They're going to help execute God's judgment. Now notice this, in the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's talking about at the end of the age there. Immediately an angel of the Lord struck him down because he did not give God the glory. Herod. Herod, oh listen to Herod, he's so great, he's God. And he said, oh yeah, you're right, I am. Angel of the Lord, no you're not. Poof. I mean, the angel of God did. He didn't give glory to God, so the angel struck him down. He died. He executed God's judgment. I looked and behold, I heard an eagle crying with a loud voice as it flew directly overhead. Woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth. And the blast of the other trumpet and the three angels are about to blow. So that in the end, the angels will be a big part of what God is doing in the revelation to bring his judgment. They escort believers to God after death. Poor man died, was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. Our dear friend Bob, when he passed from this life to the next, he was met by angels to carry him to the Father. Isn't that wonderful? Carried on angels' wings. That's what's going to happen. If you know Christ, you're going to be met by angels and taken right to the Father. Notice this. I love that. Let's just read this again, though. The phrasing of this is kind of striking. The poor man died and was carried by angels to Abraham's side. How wonderful. The rich man died and was buried. Boom. Yike. Not everyone is met by angels and carried to the Father's side. You have to know Christ. You have to know Christ as your Savior. Angels were also involved in the rich man's death. They didn't take him to the Father. They took him to a place of torments, waiting for the lake of fire. Terrible. Angels serve Jesus Christ. They announced his birth. We've seen every year at Christmas time, great heavenly hosts praising God and announcing and giving the message, telling Mary all of those things. They protected Jesus as an infant. When they departed, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, protected him. They ministered to Jesus Christ in the wilderness. Rise and take the child, angel. They protected Jesus Christ in the wilderness and ministered to him as he was in his 40 days without food and under temptation of Satan. They ministered to Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. They announced his resurrection. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come see the place where he laid. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. Behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him." Why in the world did God send an angel to tell them that Jesus was risen? Angels are messengers. They brought the message. Here's the message. He's up. He's alive. He raised from the dead. That's their job. But they serve Jesus Christ. They were active during his ascension while they were going into heaven. As he went, two men stood by them in white robes. They were active during that, Jesus' ascension. And they will return with Christ at his second coming. When the Son of Man comes in glory and all his angels with him, he will sit on his throne. So a great host of angels will come with Jesus at his second coming. All of us who are in Christ today will be with him, and then the angels as well, and we'll all return together when Christ comes to institute his rule in this earth. Angels were created to serve Jesus. Some specific information then about some of the angels that appear in the scriptures, and we could spend way more time than I'm going to right now on this part, but there's a difference between what we're going to call the good angels and the bad angels, or the good angels and the evil angels. I think more clearly it would be the angels that made the choice to follow God, the angels that made the choice to reject the Lord and fell. Okay? And I'm not going to call them angels and demons, and you're going to see why. The angels that followed God and the angels that chose to reject God and fell. Only a few of the angels have names. Michael is one of the main ones that we see named for the good angels. Michael, one of the chief princes, and he's named also the archangel. And there's only one angel named the archangel. So it's possible he is the archangel. Some people believe there are archangels, but it's possible, I would say it's probable, that he is the archangel. When the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce blasphemous judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with a voice of an archangel. This is the name they're given, and that's Michael. He will announce the return of Christ at the rapture. He is also the leader of some of the angelic forces, as we see here. A war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. Some people believe that that was supposed to be Satan's job. He rejected the Lord and fell, so Michael took over. That's just an opinion. I have no idea why, but we know for sure that Michael is the leader of the good angels now. Gabriel is you could call him the Gabriel assigned, the head angel assigned to Israel. Gabriel is described as God's messenger and stands in God's presence in Luke, and it's really the only place that we see him named. Cherubim are another type of angel then. And cherubim are guards of the angelic company. They were assigned to guard the Garden of Eden in this passage. And the Ark of the Covenant, interesting, is covered with cherubim. Satan was actually a cherub. You were anointed guardian cherub. I placed you. You were on the holy mountain of God in the midst of the stones and fire you walked. So Satan was a cherub. Seraphim is the other one, and they're only mentioned once, and that's in Isaiah 6. I've softened on this a little bit. I personally believe that seraphim are very likely synonymous with the four living creatures. I've read a few things in the scriptures themselves that make me think a little more deeply on that. I'm not certain that's 100% on that anymore, but they're very similar. Seraphim are very similar to the four living creatures that we see named four living creatures in other places. They only appear as continual worshipers of the Lord here. And then this is the four living creatures. We find them in Ezekiel's vision, and they're under the throne of God there. And you can read that and see they're very similar. We find them also in Revelation around the throne, these four living creatures. Very difficult to really, for me, to envision. I've seen pictures that people have drawn of these. I'm not sure that does it justice. It's really difficult to envision what these four living creatures look like. Lastly, for the good angels, the angel of the Lord, as we said, usually God himself is Jesus. And that can be confusing sometimes when dealing with some of the Old Testament passages. Is this just an angel? Sometimes very clear, sometimes it's not as clear. the angel of the Lord. That's some of those there I put up. Probably, that's probably, that is probably definitely the Lord, you know, Jesus himself. Then evil or fallen angels. These are the angels that followed Satan in his rebellion against God. And that's, we put that up earlier. Some are currently kept in prison. And many people believe that this is talking specifically about that time mentioned in Genesis before Noah, when the evil spirits got involved with human women. I don't know. I don't know if you can prove that. But they did something that they left their, what they were supposed to do. They left the spiritual realm. God said no, put them in chains of darkness. And they are in the pit, and they're going to be released. Many of them anyway will be released during the tribulation period. But these evil or fallen angels are the ones that followed Satan. Some of them, again, are kept in prison, you see, kept in chains until the judgment of the great day. That's that revelation period. Some will be released. And the fifth angel blew his trumpet. I saw a star falling from heaven to earth. He was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. He opened the shaft, and the shaft rose like smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and air were darkened with smoke from the shaft, and then smoke came, locusts on the earth. This is one of the judgments, that the bottomless pit's going to be opened, and some of those demons that have been kept there are going to be released to do all kinds of awful things in the world during the tribulation period. Horrible time, horrible to imagine. Now, why I said there's a distinction between calling them demons, the demons that we see, those are the ones that are not confined. They're the ones that are currently loose and active in the world. Fallen angels who are active in the world, if you will, they're loose right now. The ones in the bottomless pit, those are fallen angels, but they're not loose and active. They're in chains and kept there until God is ready to do something else with them. Demons work against God's plan and purpose. And there is currently a spiritual war then, because there are fallen angels, or the demons, and Satan, and we're going to see him in a minute, who are against God's plan, and then there are God's angels, God's messengers, who are serving God, and there is this constant spiritual warfare. And you see this, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. For I was left there with the kings of Persia, and I came to make you understand what is to happen. So this angel was told, go tell Daniel what's going to happen. Okay, that's my job, I'll go do it. Boom, what happened? Spiritual warfare. Some evil angels got involved, and there's some kind of fighting involved there, and he was overwhelmed until Michael came, and then the others evidently can't stand Michael and got out of there, right? Can't stand up to him. But there is spiritual warfare, and that's, again, it's just nothing to take lightly. That's one of the things in this world why it's so important for us to know the Word of God, to be drawing near to the Lord, to be praying constantly for God to work. Think about it. If the evil angels are against God's work, think about it. We better be praying, amen? We better be praying for God to work. I can't fight them. What am I supposed to do, right? Am I supposed to, is there some way I can do something physically? They're a spiritual being. We need God to intervene. And, you know, when you're talking about sharing the gospel with someone, praying for someone, helping someone overcome some sinful thing, you better be a praying person. And you better be enlisting others to pray as well, because there is a spiritual war going on in this world. It's very real. Okay. They work against God's plan. And then Satan, or Lucifer, is the leader of these fallen angels. His name means both deceiver and accuser. Satan willfully chose to reject God. Oh, you are fallen from heaven, O day star, son of dawn. He chose to reject God's will and wanted to be like God. He wanted to be as great as God. He led many of the other angels. We saw this before. He led a third of the other angels in their rebellion. He was the one who tempted Eve in the garden. He's a person full of hatred and wanted mankind to fall as he had fallen. And he wars all the time against the purposes of God to no avail. He's always warring, always fighting. He can never win, ever. It's already settled. He's already lost, but he keeps warring. I don't know why, but I guess that's what he's doing. And He has a great effect in this world as we witness. The great dragon was thrown down, the ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. You ever wonder why there's so much deception in this world? Oh, that's no problem. He's just got the whole world system dedicated to deceiving. He's got a whole world full of people that live here that are a bunch of liars, and then the deceiver of the whole world. Boy, I wonder why we have so much deception in this world. It's a world full of deception. And there will be a day, though, when Satan's influence will be taken out of the way, as we see there. He's warring. He is a deceiver. The beast, the dragon of Revelation. And then the last fallen angel that we'll see his name in the scriptures is Apollyon or Abaddon. And some people believe that this is also Satan. I disagree. I believe that this is a unique angel that is currently bound. He's currently in the bottomless pit. Another very powerful angel, much like Satan or Michael. And he will be the leader of those that are released from the bottomless pit. And the destroyer is literally what his word means. The destructive one or destruction. Pretty crazy. Again, that's just an awful time. It's going to be an awful time to be alive. Angels, the fallen angels, demons can influence people in this world today. They can influence all people. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. Jesus prayed for us, Father, keep them from the evil one. They have influence in this world. People invite demonic activity into their lives without even thinking about it. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord. Now, who's he writing this to? The church. Okay? These are people in the church. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. People can invite demonic activity into their lives. In the ancient world, a lot of times they did. I think people still do it today, but that's my opinion. But a lot of times they did because it got them power and it could do magical things or see the future or whatever to some degree. So they invited that in. People still do that today. Where you go, the things that you practice, what you chase after, what your heart loves, you can invite demonic activity into your life. You hear that? That's a little bit heavy, isn't it? It's true. If I can't say it strong enough, stay away from those psychedelic drugs and things like that, that this world, our whole world, in my lifetime, it's always been bad, but it's gone crazy. It's just a normal part of everything, and everybody just loves it now, and it's what everybody does. You talk to anybody right now, what are you going to do this week? Well, I'm going to go out and get drunk. Well, I'm going to go out and whatever. We're going to go smoke pot, and we're going to go do all this. Really? Right? And just in our experience in the counseling ministry, a lot of people that I've met, you see this pattern. You see sexual abuse, many times from families, drug use, abuse. Just all tied hand in hand. What is it to me? Paganism. It's just a mirror of what the pagans used to do. They use the psychedelic drugs. Yep, amen. They can influence you. Do not invite. Be careful that you're not inviting. It's a warning to us. Don't invite their activity. Now, demons cannot possess Christians. They can't. They can influence you, but they cannot indwell you as they can an unbeliever. Why? Because you already have the Spirit of the living God in you if you know Christ. Amen. You cannot be controlled or indwelt by demons as a Christian. Your body whom you have from God, you are not your own. Praise God that he doesn't let us make all of our own decisions. Amen. Right? We can't so invite the work of the devil in our lives that we're beyond hope. God, you are God's. He will protect you. And you can't be possessed. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Never forget that. Amen. As frightening as the idea of demonic activity is, never forget that God is greater. He is greater. The all fallen angels have an end. I do not ask that you take them out of the room. You keep them from the evil one. Oh yeah, this is another good. These are a couple good ones where you You don't have to live in fear of demons. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness, transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. So we're not in that same place as unbelievers. God will protect you if you are his child. In him, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. You have been filled with him. He is the head of all rule and authority. Speaking of spiritual beings in that passage. Here's a passage I was alluding to. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. The fate of all fallen angels is sealed. They made their choice. Christ did not die for them. And now their end is the lake of fire. And that's just good to remember that God actually made the lake of fire for fallen angels. Yeah. That's why he made it, so that the fallen place for judgment for the fallen angels. So it's a supreme tragedy when humans follow Satan and the rest of the fallen angels and have to share his doom in the lake of fire. It's never even made for people. People have a way to become right with God through Jesus Christ. And you don't have to have the angels, they're just doomed. Their fate is sealed. They're going to be in the lake of fire. There is no redemption for them. Since therefore children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil. His fate is sealed. There is no redemption for him. And Christians will actually one day judge angels. Oh, where's this one here? Oh, He will say to those on his left, depart from me into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Sad. It's surely not angels that he helps. He helps the offspring of Abraham. He died for us. But we will one day judge angels. Do you not know that we are to judge angels? I don't know how we're going to judge them or what that's going to look like. That's a little humbling, amen? What in the world am I going to have to say to angels? God will provide for us that. But the good angels we will be with, praising God forever with in heaven. It'll be glorious to meet some angels, won't it? To meet some angels and to see them in heaven. The fallen angels, eternity is sealed. So what do we do? What are angels? Angels are spiritual beings. They are primarily the messengers of God. There are good angels and there are fallen angels. God is greater than both, infinitely. There's nothing to fear there, but there are also nothing to trifle with. They're powerful spiritual beings, and be careful of getting sucked into some of the mysticism of our world today, some of the occult practices and things, because you can invite their activity. Oh, it's harmless. We're just going to go see a palm reader. It's harmless. It's not harmless. It's nothing to trifle with, okay? Be careful with their, it's, angels are real. You see, that's the lie of the devil. He wants you to believe just enough that he's not really there to get you in trouble. Okay? So be really careful the things that you get yourself involved with. And if this causes you fear, I know some of us struggle with that, there's always an answer. Lean into the Lord. Lean into the Lord. Demons are powerful, but God is infinitely more powerful. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Never forget that. We have real enemies, but we also have a great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Well, let's pray together. God, thank you for this survey again, and it's time to go over angels and the somewhat limited, although rich, information that we have on them. It's enough for us. And I pray that you'd help us to think rightly about these powerful beings, and certainly protect us from the influence of the evil one. And we know you do. We know you love us. And God, just pray you'd use these truths to help us be better Christians. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.